Man, did you see that earthquake that was man-made in Ohio because of the fracking?
No, what happened there?
Well, fracking is when they just basically try and, like, blow up water underground.
Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
Oh, I'm Anders.
And welcome to Liku Studios Podcast, freeware game review number 79, Tower Defense. Podcast with the date of January 8th, 2012.
It's really nice to come into this and, like, have a topic that I've actually had some experience with, or just a real history with.
Do you mean to say you've played a lot of Tower Defense in your
time?
I've
played a shit ton of Tower Defense.
How many towers in total would you say you have defended?
I don't know. I don't think... I'm not saying I'm good at them. Many lives have been lost.
Attempted defense of towers. Many towers.
Let's
have
just
been
say I got the job as tower defender because I was the lowest bidder on the contract.
He was like, "You're like, I could do it for $5," and he's just you there with a stick, and they didn't realize that was your entire company.
Oh fuck! They're approaching at me in numbers of 20.
All right, so tower defense games. We got a bunch to say about this, but seeing as how this is, you know, our freeware games cast, we're going to start by focusing on just two games. You're going to talk about Desktop Tower Defense, and I'm going to talk about Gemcraft. Yeah. So let's talk about Desktop Tower Defense.
I mean, Desktop Tower Defense... Tower Defense games really do go back far to, like, you could say the Atari and stuff like that, but, I mean...
I mean, you could, but...
But Desktop Tower Defense really... So it did not create the genre, it did not reinvent the genre, but it really exploded the genre onto the scene.
It made people start referring to it as a genre.
Yeah.
Before it was just, it's that game that's kind of like this.
Yeah. It's the one that, even people who don't play video games have played that game. Like, when I was doing research for this, like, it's had over 200 million downloads.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's what you get used to. People are going to run across your screen. You're going to put towers up. There are different types of towers. And you need to stop these people from reaching the other side of the screen. I mean, once again, just to bring up the... Well, who made the game again?
Paul Paris.
Paul Paris. I mean, great guy. I mean, very humble when I was doing the research. It's just amazing how... what he's been able to create with just so little. I mean, I like the style of the game. It just feels like, you're just looking at your desk, and there's these little creatures running across it.
I mean, that's... But you know, the sort of the mechanic of the game is like... It's like there's two mechanics. There is build a maze, and then build some turrets.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, like my big deal against these games in general is... Like, I'm very good with... like, spatial reasoning, and I can just look at an area and be like, okay, here's the most efficient, longest path maze. And so that half of the game is completely, like, already solved when I sit down to one. And then it's just about, all right, now place turrets. And every game I've played, I always use the same tactic of just, like, build a couple of turrets along the walls and then make the closest to the front ones the biggest and strongest. And then that pretty much handles it.
I mean, but I really think that there's just a greatness to its simplicity, that there is a really great level of difficulty scaling. I love the creep, how the creep, you can always see 5 creeps ahead what's going to happen. So you can get used to, like, oh shit, the flying guys are coming now. And that, you're right that the game doesn't, it's always the same map. And so maybe that could be changed. But when we look at maybe the later iterations of the game, that we do see different maps.
Yeah, but it's... I mean, that is part of it. That, like, that's the thing. Like there is sort of a beauty in the simplicity, but, you know, I think this one was too simple. And for a while, people were like, well, this is what worked. This is what people like. Let's keep it that simple. And... there is, like, a trend in game design that says, like, the way that you get people to like your game is that you just make it super simple. You make it so that they have to put in the least amount of effort in order to accomplish something. And that's sort of why, you know, That's why all of the casual games work. That's why pretty much everything PopCap puts out works. That's why fantasy football leagues work. That's why...
fantasy football leagues are not casual.
No, well, I mean, they're not casual, but, you know, how much...
They're addictive.
Like to actually do it, to actually create a team. Like, I've never done it, but I'm just hearing this, you know, secondhand. But, like to actually, like, form one and keep track of stats. Yeah. You kind of just and then pay attention to it. Like, how much actually effort you have to put in. A lot of things with gambling, that's sort of the way it works. I mean, you know, you look at Texas Hold'em. You get two cards, and then five fall on the field, and then it's about, well, am I in or am I out? And then, you know, to get into high-level play, you do add more to it, and that's kind of what I see with tower defense, is there is no high-level play to get interesting. Like, there is a simple thing, and that's good, but there's not much of a place to go with it. Mm. Again, in this iteration, which is why there's other things we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, but once again, and just also to talk about the mechanics of tower defense games in general, I just really think that he really does a great job with the mazing aspect of it, and mm-hmm. I think mazing is always just, I don't really even consider a tower defense game when there's no mazing in the game itself.
Yeah.
And that mazing in the game, the simple grid that he puts into the game, I feel just makes the game just so enjoyable, and that you can just pick it up and play it. Like, I really enjoyed getting back into the game, researching for this podcast, and I know when I get back to my house tonight, I'm just going to maybe play a couple rounds again. Just put on the podcast.
That is the beauty in its simplicity, is that you can just pick it up and do it. But, you know, that's sort of the thing. Because, like, you can make something that simple and that great, but then leave in, you know, put in some sort of hook that gives you the high-level play. That's something that people like about, you know, that's always a sign of a good game design. When you see, like, you know, people talking about fighting games. Like, fighting games, when they're designed well, usually they're, you know, they can be a good game for people who button mash or who only know, you know, like, basic punches and kicks and maybe, you know, throw a fireball here and there. But then a well-designed game will also have, like frame priority and combo breaking and all these things that high-level players can get into, and there's something there for them, too. There's nothing that says a game, to be simple, can't have something for something high-level in it, and that's, you know.
So do you see that maybe that's different than the game that you want to talk about?
It's a little different.
And what game are you talking about again?
I'm coming to the table with Gemcraft, which is
just gonna lay that on the table.
Yeah, just gonna lay it.
Flip it out.
I'm gonna flip over your desktop and put this down instead. Brand new towers. So Gemcraft doesn't. I don't know if it really does this sort of high level thing that I'm talking about, but at least it is sort of an evolution of the form.
And who makes Gemcraft?
Gemcraft is by Game in a Bottle. When I link to it, I'll probably link to the one on Armor Games because that's the one that I played most. I imagine wherever you... Apparently, there's a couple of different versions released, but I'm talking...
These games you can find throughout the internet.
Oh, yeah, you can find tons of them. But, like, specifically, like, the Gemcraft, there's, like... I think it said there was, like, a Gemcraft Episode 0 kind of thing. The one that I'm talking about is the one on Armor Games, and it's the one that I'm into.
Just, like, another fun fact, like, when doing research, I saw that, according to the guy, Paul... who made Desktop Tower Friends, his records show that his game has been embedded in over 1 million websites.
Jeez.
Yeah, these are everywhere. But yeah, continue.
But the thing about Gemcraft does a couple of different things. They add... It's not all the same map. Like, it's never just like an open map. It's usually, it sort of defines certain mazes, certain patterns... And what you're doing is, like, it shows you the path that the monsters are going to take, and then you can either, you know, block off certain areas to force them to go a different way, or you can build in, like, the surrounding area to actually just let them follow their path, and you just set where the towers are going to be. I never made it through the whole game, but there's, like, a big map of maybe, like... It'll probably at least 75, maybe 100 different levels of all different shapes and different different layouts for what monsters are going to show up. You know, certain levels have spawning on them. I don't know if there's any other interesting things about the levels beyond that, just because I played a bunch of this game and I never got there.
Yeah, I'm just amazed how these indie games, and just how, like, you've reviewed them before, how much content sometimes indie games can have.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is 1 to 5 people who made this. Like, how did they put this stuff in?
And like... I think, you know, at some point we're going to have to talk about how tower defense makes content kind of cheap, because sometimes it's just like, well, what is the setup of the monsters that are going to come in this wave? And then, well, okay, now we've added a new wave. But when you're doing, like, unique maps, then that's, you know, definitely something interesting. Something else that this game had, they added sort of, they had a hook of elemental towers and being able to upgrade towers through combining. So let's say you have, you know, your blue tower that has freezing attribute and your red tower that's just, you know, double damage. Well, you can either create more level one towers and combine those to upgrade them separately, or you give up having the two towers and now you have one level two tower that has both double damage and freezing attributes to it. Hmm. And then the last thing that they did was they just have sort of the player specific abilities. So you can, sometimes you can drop bombs on the field. You can, instead of using a gem to build a tower, you can use that to do something, you can, like, throw it down on the field in a certain place and it'll have different reactions. You can slow down monsters. And it's based on a leveling system so that the more you play, the more levels you beat, the more XP you gain, you get to have more, you unlock more abilities to customize how you play. And then they also built in a number of, like, ways to make the game harder and, like, to tweak, you know, speed and health of the enemies so that that way, and then when you turn those on, you get more XP so you can replay previous levels with, you know, with tweak difficulty, and then you'll get more XP out of it, or you can, like, only fight a certain kind, and then just to change up the replay value on that a little bit. And those unlock with time and playing, too. And so, like, even though it doesn't have that high-level thing, they've done a lot of things to really give you replay value in it so that, you know, you play a level, and then, okay, maybe you can solve it. Like, here's where I put my towers, do these things. Well, now they've put some things in there that either will change what's going to happen on that level, or at least will change the way that you can approach that level.
Yeah. I mean, it's really great what they've been able to change, but at the same time, I just feel like tower defense games have just kind of hit a rut. I mean, like, every tower defense game I play has the same just 5 to 7 towers. There's the one that shoots the pellets. There's the one that shoots the ice that slows things down. There's the one that does the area effect attack. I mean, I really feel like how tower defense games have evolved is what they've evolved into.
Yeah.
And I mean, and what you see that in is games like Dota.
Yeah.
Or game.
Well, I mean, Dota, I've been told that Dota is actually kind of a stretch because that is, because you change it so much where you become, because sort of the idea about tower defense is, you know, in a pure form, it's a very passive thing. You set up these towers and then you let it run and either you had a good solution or you goofed up.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start saying, and especially in Dota, they say it's a stretch because you don't do any tower building. But there's, you know, there's a bunch of games where you do tower building as well. Dungeon Defenders,
yeah,
by Trendy Entertainment. That's, you know, that one came out recently. And that one, you do build, like, towers or traps or
something,
oh, no,
you
right?
build a lot. I mean, there's a build phase and then there's an attack phase.
But then in the attack phase, you're taking an active role where you're actually running around and also defending.
Yeah.
Orcs Must Die also came out recently. That one was kind of interesting because you didn't build, like, towers or area of effect stuff so much as you built traps, like, into the wall so you could build, you know, wall spikes. But at the same time, you get sort of this issue of, like, well, you know, I can put these here and these here and these here, and, you know, anybody else, like, if you find something that works, anybody else who does this, this will work for them, too.
Yeah. I feel like, just to go back just one step, I feel like this, the connection between TD games and, like, Dota-like games just really has to go back to, we were talking before how, like, the two games we're talking about today really helped spread the popularity of tower defense games, but tower defense games really had a big, I wouldn't say heyday, just with StarCraft and World of Warcraft 3, mm, and that Dota also has its roots in the exact same thing. But I mean,
yeah,
I can't tell you how much time when I would play StarCraft, I would just play a user map setting tower defense mod. And boy, I thought that was all there was to tower defense games for a long time when I was younger.
Mm.
And I mean, they do have, not to just like, just say aha, but like they both do have towers. There are creep in the game and stuff like that. But I feel like even more so when we're talking about games like Dungeon Defender, maybe the more modern iteration of defense tower games are games like Horde Mode or Firefight Mode in Halo or Horde Mode in Gears of War.
Well, I mean, I feel like you're kind of jumping ahead a bit.
All right.
But I mean, to go back to Dota, like, they do share, you know, a lot of the common roots, but I don't know, the way I always feel is like when I haven't played actual Dota because I never had Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
But
I was terrible at original Dota. I'm terrible at every single current iteration of Dota.
Every MOBA. Which, that's a dumb name, but at least it's a name that we can agree on what we want it to mean. But, you know, I've only played League of Legends, and but even then, I imagine they're all, you know, they're all similar enough. And the feeling that I get
they're
from them is like you're a dude running around in, like, somebody else's
tower defense game.
Because, like, there's creep, there's pats, towers are already built, all this is going on, and you're just there to affect the flow of the game. Which is kind of a good idea, and, you know, that's player agency right there. I really like that.
It's certainly addicting.
It is, but the thing is, like, I do prefer it when I'm also, you know, over the actual tower building aspect of it and doing the laning, because that's really where my strength is. Like, I'm rubbish at League of Legends.
Oh, I can't. I can't macro, micro for shit.
Like, I can't do that, but probably what's even worse at dragging me down is the whole idea of, like, you buy items to change the numbers of your character. I can't do, like, modifying numbers. I can do modifying space, which, like, if... I mean, you make it, like, you know, a team-based game where one person on a team is doing, like, the laning and amazing, and the other person is playing a hero and fighting in there, I'd be down with that, and I would only ever play half of that game.
Well, that's where Dungeon Defender is just so much better, that there is that spatial reasoning, there is that numerical reasoning, but the numerical reasoning is way less paced. It's way slower paced than it is in League of Legends. You do the numerical reasoning when nothing else is happening. You do it in the tavern, so to say, in between rounds. That it's not like law, which you have to be doing it during the game itself.
And Sanctum too. I've been playing a lot of Sanctum, and that's the game that, you know, it's very, very directly, it's a tower defense game, but it's, and they even have sort of a mode built into it where they let you, you know, pull back to an up top view. It shows you, like,
and
the projected path.
It just looks
of the
exactly enemy. Like a tower defense game.
Yeah, I mean, you can't play it there. You have to run around and actually, like, be on the field to build towers and do stuff. But once you get in there, it is all about, you know, make your maze, and then all you're doing there is it's you're helping out the towers. Like when you beat a level in that game, it shows you, like, the four players playing. It shows you all of their stats, like, especially, like, damage per second. But then all of the towers, it counts basically as a separate player. So you see how many kills the tower got versus how many the players got. And the towers are always winning.
Mm-hmm.
There's an achievement for beating a phase without using any player-based gunfire at all. And that's so easy to get.
I've just never played Sanctum before. Is there different, like, character classes in Sanctum like there is in Dungeon Defender, or does everyone just play the same generic character?
Not classes. There is sort of a
variation.
There's selective loadouts.
Okay.
So what happens is, like, you know, let's say there's 15 different tower types, but we can each only bring in 5. So, you know, we would need 3 people in order to get all of them. And then even then, you know, we would need good communication in order to be like, okay, we could use some of these over here, so why don't you come do this, I'll do that. Who's got these resources left? And then the same with the weapons that you carry into. There's like 5 weapons, you only get to carry 3.
I feel like that's a really great way to play off of the tower defense mechanics. That, I mean, I love Dungeon Defenders. It's a great game, but
there was
the RPG mechanics work well into it. But just listening to what you're talking about, I feel like that's a really great way to still maybe pay homage to the tower defense roots that Sanctum has.
Well, I mean, it worked really well, especially for the co-op, because there was one round that me and Ryan played where I brought a lot of, like, damage amplifying, like, support buffing kind of towers, and then a couple of regular towers, and then he brought mostly, like, regular and high damage towers, so between the two of us, we got, like, really good ground coverage laid down.
Yeah.
Whereas, from what I've heard of...
Dungeon Defender really holds your hand when it comes to comboing the towers off that. The 4 base classes, the towers, each 4 of the classes, they don't share a generic towers. They all 4 of their towers, all 4 sets of towers that each character class makes are built to go well together. The knight class builds great defensive things, while the mage class builds great just shoot, like, basic shooting ones, while the other one's great area effect. Well, it sounds like to me that in Sanctum, the multiplayer cooperativeness has, you really do have to plan it out. There's no hand-holding. Well, in Dungeon Defenders, it's more like, okay, here it is, just go do it.
I mean, it sounds like they are forcing you to do good co-op there, too. Mm-hmm. But one thing I will say about Sanctum is it, because you get to pick which towers you pick, even though you can never be the strongest by yourself, but at least you can still pick stuff that plays your own play style.
Yeah. We should mention that Sanctum is it's really a tower defense first-person shooter game, while Dungeon Defender is a tower defense beat-em-up game.
Yeah.
Like, there's also the inherent difference in that.
And that's the thing about Dungeon Defenders. When you're out of the build phase, do you actually feel like you're fighting together?
Oh yeah, no. I mean, the map comes up. You can see when things are getting damaged, and you can still build during the fighting phase, like repair your towers, because there's no mazing in Dungeon Defenders, and you'll be talking to your friends like, oh shit, I need help over here, and then you'll run over there, and there is also. Some of the classes are way better at fighting, and some of the classes are way better at tower defending.
At tower building.
Huh. Like, the knight class, his tower is the weakest. He's more just there to just kill enemies while actually playing. He's more just a moving tower.
Sanctum is really about the mazing of it, because you have to build, solid blocks before you can put towers into them. But then again, that's also cool, because when you play that co-op, I can just be like, all right, I'm going to build a spiral, start filling all of the boxes with Gatling guns.
No, I mean, in Dungeon Defenders, you'll play like 5 rounds on a map, and then the map will change, and then the monsters will come in from a different way.
That's not bad either.
No, I mean, it's a great game.
Yeah. Should mention, Dungeon Defender and Sanctum are pay games.
Yeah, they are pay games.
But... Yeah. Maybe you just picked them up on Steam's holiday sale.
They were very cheap on Steam's holiday sale. Like, that's why I have Dungeon Defender.
Weird thing to pull up, but another game that's sort of tower defense in its roots, Rock of Ages.
I have not touched that game. I've seen, the advertisement, but can you just explain?
I have it on Xbox. I've played through all of the single player, and we've done a bunch of rounds on the multiplayer. It's really weird.
So, is there creep? Do you build things?
It's tower defense in the sense that there is a path down the mountain. Uh-huh. Sometimes it branches, or there are shortcuts you can take. And you cycle between rolling your boulder down a mountain and to try and hit the target at the bottom.
As you do.
You sure bet your ass you do. But then you have a build phase where you build defenses. So you build catapults, you build mines, you build cattle who can push balls around.
As they do.
Yeah, as they do. They're wont to do. And then there's no creep, but the idea is just that you are building stuff to just mess up your opponent. Because even if your opponent makes it down to the bottom, it's if you can kill their speed or just hurt them, because they lose health and they lose mass. So... they're trying to get to the bottom with the most speed and health. So if you can do anything to knock down either of those, then you will make them worse at doing that and give you a better chance to hurt theirs. But it comes down a lot to sort of tower defense kind of stuff. It's always like, okay, I need to build a combo. So first I'm going to build some cattle to slow them down, and then behind those I'm building the catapults to knock them out of the way. I'm going to build a wall here, and then they're going to be like, a wall, I'm just going to jump over that. But then behind a wall is mine, so then they immediately fall into explosives. There's a lot of, I really like that game, because it's basically tower defense and monkey ball. And I'm really good at
it.
Because
I have to play it.
We'll play it later. Okay. But it's just so good, because I like it because I can piss people off, because I can see shortcuts that no one ever thinks of. And it's just like, I'm sorry you wasted all that money, I just leapt across half of the map.
I mean, what modern games don't have tower defense mechanics in it? The latest Assassin's Creed has a tower defense game in it.
That nobody really seems to like.
Yeah, but I mean, we could go through all these games. I mean, I feel like I kind of mentioned it before, that the real other roots that you see modern defense tower defense games in are just these Horde mode in Gears of War and Firefight mode in Halo that... I mean, the base of tower defense games is just that...
Is that survival.
It's that survival, they're coming, I got to gear up. We got to go get those guys.
But I mean, that's really, like, I think a major diverge. That you can't really say that.
But in my head, I just feel like those games are the same genre.
Like in your head, it makes sense because it's all about survival. But, you know.
A lot of things make sense up there.
It's a scary place. But, you know, when you look at it and you break it down to mechanics, there is a major divide over active and passive.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Desktop Tower Defense, it's all passive. You set it up and then you let it run and either you did well or you didn't. And then stuff like Firefight and Halo or Horde Mode and Gears of War, it's all the active. It's like, I am here now. I need to make every shot count. I need to remember where I am. And it's a complete action game.
I feel like we can actually just completely grade all the games we were talking about today on that spectrum of passive. I'm not passiveness versus.
I mean, yeah. If you want to say that there's a slider between passive and active, then all of the games fall on there somewhere. But
it would be a great way to organize what we're talking about.
The passive ones are the tower defense, and then the active ones are just regular survival, or what people just refer to as horde mode. Because I guess they think Gears of War did it best. I like Firefight better.
Oh, I like Firefight
the same
too,
thing.
Better.
It's tower defense or survival. Like they are both like very very common in nature, but it is a major divide between active and passive. But then there are ones that land right in the middle. You know, Sanctum lands pretty much in the middle. Dungeon Defenders lands in the middle. Trenched, or as it's now known, Iron Brigade. That one is, like, squarely in the middle because that is entirely all the time about,
bisexual.
No. It is bi-roll meal.
Okay.
Because you either have an active role or a passive role. But that's, like, right in the middle. Like, I haven't played that, but it's entirely about, like, you are there, you're gunning things down. Every once in a while, you get to call in a tower. And there's not too much mazing in it, but there, you know, it is a lot more. You have to rely on yourself a lot more than you have to rely on your towers, but your towers are vital to success. And then what about Plants vs. Zombies? Where does that fall?
Oh, Plants vs. Zombies just eats up all the other games and then chews it out. And chews it out at a zombie. I mean, it's kind of amazing we've talked about tower defense games for a whole half hour now, and we have not mentioned probably the most famous tower defense game of the last ever.
Because like there was Desktop Tower Defense, and that was like, hey guys, tower defense is a thing you can say to reference to a whole category of games now. And then there's Plants vs. Zombies, and that was sort of the end of the discussion.
I know, it's like, I've played a lot of it. I've been in the game, I've done a lot of the survival mode. I mean, it doesn't have the mazing in it. You just have your 5 to 6 lines.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of towers, and there's the stylishness of the game has to be given some credit.
It does have a pretty nice style to it, but like, I couldn't play that game. I couldn't stand it. I got
too
maybe
casual.
Like, I played like maybe 4 levels of it, and it was just like,
you can turn your mind off faster. And play that game.
Maybe, but like, I don't know. Like I
think maybe the less said about Plants vs. Zombies is the best.
But it's something that people like, and it's certainly...
Oh, no, I love the game.
But, like, they try to do, like, a fake-ass active role where you have to catch sun drops for your resources?
Yeah,
that's a thing that happens, right?
Yeah, that is. And that does get very boring.
I mean, that's the thing. Like for how much they're simplifying it down to, like, you know, no mazing, just pick towers, there's only so many, whatever's going on. Like, I'd rather not have any activeness at all. I'd rather that be like a wholly passive experience. Like I would rather play Desktop Tower Defense over Plants vs. Zombies. And I don't ever really want to play Desktop Tower Defense.
That's our recommendation for the episode.
It's okay. That's a game you have to pay for. We're not telling you to go play that
one. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I agree 100%. That sun drop thing could be removed. And also the fucking flower game. The flower mini game, but that's not a tower defense game. That's just PopCap wants your money, which they're quite good at getting.
Yeah, I mean, like Bookworm Adventures, freaking Bejeweled,
oh,
and
Bejeweled
Peggle.
Is just oh, this I, is we're not. This, have you had a PopCap episode? I don't remember.
No, that's going to be our casual game episode.
Okay,
Which we have not hit yet.
Uh-huh. I don't want
to. You are welcome to come and blather about PopCap games when we do that.
I mean, just like maybe just to wrap it up, just talking about future episodes, I just want to thank you for having me on this episode and last episode. I do enjoy listening to the podcast, and I remember being in the podcast a long ago, and it's just been great being back in Warwick, break from college, and I look forward to hopefully being in a couple episodes this summer.
Yeah,
whenever I come
back. Yeah, whenever you're around, you're welcome. You're one of the cast.
Right. It's blood in, blood out.
Yeah, pretty much. You went out, you got to die. If not, you got a podcast.
Fuck.
All right, so I'll put links to the free ones that we talked about.
We don't
about.
Need to put the links for the free ones. Once again, they've been embedded.
No, but
we should link to websites where you can't find the free ones.
No, but I mean, like, you know, like that. If anything, I'll link them because there are so many of them that you can kind of just jump in somewhere and probably hit, like, shitty copycats. So the ones that I'll give you are good jumping-off points. Yeah. And I'll give you Desktop Tower Defense, Gemcraft. And we did an episode about League of Legends before, so if you look back in our archives, you can find links to that. That is also a free game.
How much money have you spent? $4,000?
No, I spent, like, maybe $5 when they said, if you buy this skin, we will donate to Haiti. And I was like, okay, I can get behind that. I'll put links to those games in the show notes. Show notes are found at alikustudios.net/podcast. If you go to alikustudios.net, we got webcomics, we got podcasts, we got videos and cool stuff. And it's a new year. I'm feeling refreshed. I want to get tons of new stuff up there, new ways to interact.
You're updating it every day now. Like,
almost.
You're updating the Alico Studios Twitter more than you update your own.
That's not true, but
okay.
But
I'm trying to be. Just give me something, man.
Every time something, you know, every time something goes up on Alico, I update to Twitter. That's
a great recommendation
Alico.
For people to follow you on Twitter and Alico.
Yeah, why not? I need to talk to Tim. He was willing to do a thing, so that would be another day of the week. And then
Tim is always willing to do things and stuff.
But then that's like, you know, 4 days of the week full. That's almost like, you know, something every day. That would be great. I'm working towards that. That's going to happen. Is there anything that you want to see, you want to hear us talk about on the podcast, feel free to send us an email, podcast@alikustudios.net. You can hit us on the Twitter. The Twitter is @Aliku. If you you can also, we have a Facebook page. If you want to like us, leave us comments, anything there. That's facebook.com/Aliku. You can find us in the Zune Marketplace and on the iTunes Store. If you want to go there to subscribe to the podcast, if you want to leave us reviews and ratings, that would be super appreciated. When we post stuff on Aliku, if you just want to go ahead and retweet those things, how much effort is it on your part, really? And it would be super appreciated and by us, and it would help us out a lot.
Just as a side note, I've done this entire podcast. Just my mouth is just completely numb off of 3 shots of Novocaine.
Were you numb-chucking?
I was cribbing like a horse.
Cribbage?
No, cribbing. When a horse just bites down on something and just sucks in air. All right, that's it for now.
See you later, guys. Have fun. Defend them towers.
You only have 20 lives. Do it now!
Do it! Do it harder!
Sonic boom, sonic boom, sonic boom. Sonic boom is awesome. Okay, once more.